The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, it's nice to practice with you. So we often talk about vulnerability and softening, that we cannot truly open to our life unless we soften. And so we expand the mesh of our being to let experience in, totally allowing life to flow through. And that softening brings a great deal of poignancy. And we talk about the limitations of willfulness and the ways in which we cannot engineer our own awakening, and the ways we must learn to trust something other than our doing. I talk about the importance of surrender and the dissolution of volitional energies, making something happen, the dissolution of that. And I talk often about helplessness, the experience of helplessness, that which is really just another way of talking about dukkha, the first noble truth, that there is suffering, that we meet helplessness in ourselves when there are no moves left to make, and we're offered this kind of insight into the ultimately ungovernable nature of suffering. I talk about the limitations of our love, that it will never be enough, that we'll never be able to do what we want with our love. There will always be much suffering our love cannot reach, and that we'll have to find a way for our heart not to be obliterated by the limitations of our love. And I'm not walking back any of that. But I pivot, but it's important to understand something else, which is also true, that this path is about the cultivation of power. And I associate power generally, even that word felt a little weird coming out of my mouth, I associate it with aggression and delusion. And those who seek it generally cannot be entrusted to wield it. And power is often the power to harm. And so I'm wary. Actually, just remembering many years ago, three of us, very young Dharma teachers at a very senior teacher's home for a kind of meeting, consultation, and the teacher had us hold a very imposing, large, heavy sword and take a kind of fighting stance or something, you know, and I remember I was just like, oh, you know, I was like, it did something to me just to hold that weapon, you know? And I don't know how I would feel about holding it now, but it's important to make no mistake about it. The Dharma is the cultivation of power. All this talk of vulnerability and helplessness and love, it's the cultivation of power. We're cultivating the power to meet life with courage and radical honesty, kind of moral obligation of veracity. And all our sad rationalizations, our confabulated life, is all kind of expression of fear. And truth is apportioned to those according to their strength, Nietzsche wrote. And truth is apportioned to those according to their strength. As I took that note today, I rewatched the courtroom scene with Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise. You cannot, you know, you can't handle the truth. Actually, pretty good scene. You know, how much truth can we handle about ourselves, about the world, about death? Strength is required. Fear is often a form of intimidation in the face of pain, physical, emotional pain. And our path is becoming much less intimidated by pain. The fear of pain does not distort us, distort our behavior, distort our view in the same way. In other words, something like equanimity is the ultimate anxiolytic drug, you know. When you know in your bones how every story ends, become less fretful. Become less fretful. Already know. As we perceive causality more clearly, when we start to see the kind of hinge points in samsara, and we get better at getting what we want. The Dharma is both a kind of radical relinquishment and also respecting our desires. And delusion weakens us. Clinging makes us weak. We cannot perceive ourselves clearly. We cannot perceive others clearly. And so we keep colliding with conditions that we don't understand. We keep doing things and getting something different than we anticipated. And when we are confused and we don't understand causality, we don't know where, how to intervene. So Dharma, part of the strength that it imbues us with is the understanding, richer understanding of causality. This helps us get better at getting what we want. And when we don't get what we want, that's not a big deal either. Dharma makes us better predictors of our happiness. It's powerful to be able to forecast our happiness. We develop a kind of certain kind of, yeah, of course, connected, and we develop the power of independence, independent in the Dharma. And awakening is, in a sense, is the death of the Dharma student, you know, become independent in the Dharma. And that doesn't mean there's not incredible humility, but in a way, there's no more deferring to anything but the heart. We listen deeply, of course. Delusion is inexhaustible. Wisdom involves the other, involves humility. But that deep internal wobble, that's gone. and the tendency to ping to the mind of the other to see what's true, that's gone. We cultivate the power to sidestep or refuse the carnival of defilements that constitutes popular culture. Kind of, you know, I just like today, it's just like, oh, just the endless distraction and vapidity and a kind of just the sense of like warp zoning towards death, you know. We disengage from the kind of half-hearted palliative measures of a confused system, the naive models of happiness that are proffered to us every moment. We develop the power of anatta, the, you know, self is a wound masquerading as a nurse, and it's innocent, but makes us cartoonish and vengeful, pitiful. And pride and shame and narcissism and arrogance and self-hatred, that's not power, you know. Living under the kind of spell of Sakyaditti, self-view, living under the kind of sword of Damocles, just pure fragility. Enough. Enough. Dharma gives us power. And happiness, less and less dependent conditions. And that's something that we can trust. Offer this for your consideration. So please pick up what's useful, leave the rest behind. We'll gather back next time. I will not do a silent sit. Okay, I wish you all well. Have a good week.